You're listening to the Kinky Coach Podcast with Stephanie
and Fox.
Hey, Fox.
Yeah? You've been a bad, bad boy. Nice boy. This show contains explicit content
and is intended for mature audiences only.
This is what happens when an innocent, successful mental health professional
falls for a rugged, prior-deployed bad boy.
You get one hell of a ride.
This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Because you got to fight for your right to party. Fight, fight, fight. No, not that type of fight.
Not at all. But I'm glad. I like your enthusiasm.
Oh, okay. Well, I tried.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I like when you judge me.
I don't judge you.
Judgment. Lots of judgment, per se.
I just look at you funny.
Your eyes, they say everything I need to know.
I wear my expressions on my face.
I know. You and your judgy eyes.
It's not judgment. It is, you can always know what I'm thinking by the expression on my face.
Judgment.
That's not judgment.
Okay. I try very hard for you, right?
You try very hard.
To be artistic and expressive.
You do it. And you excellent. Judge me. You do an excellent job of trying to be as dramatic as I am.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We are talking about a fight journal today. Our fight journal.
Yeah, yes. We are. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to present this on Podcastapalooza, which was interesting only because of the technical difficulties. It had to happen. To me. She said that it hadn't happened to anybody the whole weekend, and then here comes Stephanie.
That's because you and technology love each other.
But I felt much better knowing that the girl who went after me had the same technical difficulties, and I felt pretty good about that.
What? Why would you feel good about that?
Because it wasn't only me.
That's just not very polite.
It was very polite because it wasn't just me.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll just have to go with it and back you up. I don't know that I understand, but I got your back, baby.
Thanks.
Maybe from way back.
I'm sure. I'm sure it's way back there, but
oh, please.
You got me. No, we got to present it, and I had some really good response off of it. So I had some really good response, which I thought it was pretty much crap because I felt like I was rushing. I felt like I got flustered, which I tend to do when things don't go my way.
Yes.
And you pretty much did the, we'll figure it out. And I hate when you do that. Just come fix it for me.
Well, I'm not always going to be there for you. Not
but you
always.
Were, but you were at that time.
And we got it figured out,
we did.
Not?
We okay. did.
Exactly.
But I was flustered.
You were being
frazzled.
Flustered. Yes.
And
you are used to giving a certain level of presentation. And because we weren't allowed to utilize our format or our platform and utilize the desktop because the browser wasn't working correctly with the platform they were using, you were very flustered.
Yes. And I had, but I will say that Podcastapalooza, the moderator, she came through in the clutch. We emailed her the PowerPoint.
She had your back.
She did. She had my back. She was real close.
Kate had your back.
Kate did have my back. So I appreciate that. And I feel like it went off well. But
yeah,
because...
Before you get into... So big shout out to Kate from Podcastapalooza.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Swinging Down Under is her podcast, I believe with her husband. Go check it out if you get a chance. But they threw on an event called Podcastapalooza where there's a bunch of influencers, educators, and podcasters that get together and basically give out fun education.
Yeah.
She used a certain word, and unfortunately, I don't remember what it is.
Edutainment.
Edutainment. Yes. So fun, but edutainment.
Yes. Yeah. And originally, it was supposed to be in person. We were going to fly to...
Florida.
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 Florida, Miami, or I think that's where it was, and it got canceled because of COVID, and so she really threw together an awesome podcast. Yes. I mean, an awesome live, I guess, live podcast.
Well, it wasn't a podcast. It was a virtual seminar.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Hmm? It was pretty cool. So because of the feedback I got from that, I thought that maybe we should do a podcast about this fight journal and rewriting the rules of conflict.
Yes. And you noticed that I didn't put rewriting the rules of conflict. I actually put my terminology, which is keep it classy, not trashy. If you're going to argue or you need to have a conflict, keep it classy, not trashy.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to create a journal for them to do this in. So this is the fight journal.
I gotcha.
I got it.
Just,
hey,
I'm tooting my own horn over here.
Toot, toot.
Yeah, and you're trying to shoot bullets at me. And
I am not shooting
ducking
any...
and I'm dodging. And
oh, my
thank
gosh.
Thank God I got my bulletproof vest on.
Being sensitive.
Oh, let me tell you.
Yeah, rewriting the rules of conflict.
Whatever else is in that motherfucker.
So my brother is in the studio today, and he fell asleep. And so we said, hey, why don't you go crash? We have a little makeshift room in the other room. And he said, hell no, that's your playroom. And we don't just have handcuffs, though, bud. We have...
God knows what you got.
Dildos, vibrators, spreader bars.
I'm a little offended.
What the fuck is a spreader bar?
A spreader bar? Okay.
I have a spreader bar that we use at work to pry metal apart. If it's what I think it is, I'll just leave it at that.
It literally takes the woman's legs, spreads them apart, and locks them in place. So she can't close them. And you can put her in various positions for deeper penetration, force play, all sorts of stuff.
Wait, I'm a little offended that you won't go take a nap in our bed.
In the play bed?
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd take a nap in the play bed either. Not until it's closed. Hey, we clean it all the time.
I believe you. I bet it's clean and sanitized and happy as go lucky thing. But guess what? I ain't crashing it.
And so this is some of the back conversation we have during the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we're on pause. But I think we're going to leave this in the show because it's quite funny.
Crash on
that bitch. Yes. Oh. Speaking of rewriting the rules of conflict. It's a great segue.
My poor brother. So, he's married. He loves his wife and his kids. And he lives a very, very traditional, monogamous...
Very vanilla.
It's... yes.
It's capital V.
It is definitely... It's all the capitals except maybe the A. And that's because he smacks her ass, I think, every now and then. And that's getting dirty.
He is very vanilla.
Which, and it wasn't like that. So when him and I met...
Are you sure you want to tell these stories?
Yeah, yeah, she already knows.
Okay.
When him and I met, we met when we were 16, 15 or 16, maybe even 14, I don't remember. And we bonded pretty quickly. Actually, the first couple times we didn't like each other. And then I got him some ass. And all of a sudden we were best friends. Him and I have had threesomes together, foursomes together. I mean, we've played a lot. But once he left the military and I stayed in, it was kind of, I don't know. He just became what he became, and he lives the life he wants to. But it is very vanilla, very traditional. And so every now and then when he hangs out in the studio, he hears shit he never wants to hear again. Or he'll come to me and go, so... What is this? And you can tell there's a little bit of interest, but I'm not sure how.
I love it when we talk to him and he starts getting really red.
Yes.
And then his voice gets really high pitched, and I know that he's very stressed. Embarrassed. Yeah, he's gotta walk out.
All right. Anyway, everybody argues. Okay. This is something that happens. Everyone has conflict. Everyone, I hate to say it, but has a fight every now and then.
Everybody does. It's right? What we have to do.
I wouldn't say it's what we have to
do. It's very healthy for your relationship.
Okay. I mean, you and I argue here and there. We either get into like an argument or we don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're very different though.
Yeah.
No one can base their relationship off of ours. Hey, Kinky Nation. Do you need help with navigating the swinging lifestyle? Fox and I offer personalized coaching services designed specifically for your relationship needs.
Are you the person that all your friends turn to when they have questions about sex? You should check out the Kinky Coach Sex Coach Certification Course and get paid for sex coaching instead of doing it for free. Just go to kinkycoach.com.
Lastly, if you feel that you are in need of therapeutic services for your relationship or individually, please visit Beautiful Beginnings with an S, LLC.org for more information on the counseling services I offer. Okay, Kinky Nation, let's get back to the show.
I guess. I mean, we still argue.
We do argue, yeah. But...
But we try and keep it as classy as possible, not trashy. And so what I mean by that is you can raise your voice and curse and yell and be disrespectful, and I don't really feel that that accomplishes much. I think that cursing and the tone of your voice and raising it is meant for very pinnacle type moments where you need to establish, this is how I feel because you are not hearing me any other way. But I think it needs to be like one and done. It should last a couple seconds to get someone's attention and then back to actually communicating.
Well, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Who taught you how to argue?
Oh, God, my mother.
What was her argument style?
My mother should have worked for the NSA. She should have worked for the military as a spy.
You don't have to go in depth.
Or she should be a damn attorney. So this woman... So first off, I don't get along with my mother. We don't talk. She is... Politically, we are very opposite, and belief systems, we are very opposite. We couldn't be more opposite from each other in every direction. So when I joined the military, I became an evil, bad person. When I became a cop, I became an even worse person. So her style of arguing is to already know all the facts, do all her research before she even brings up a topic. That way she knows exactly when you're lying and when you're not, or when you're wrong and when you're not.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. Well, it works very well as a cop in law enforcement.
Sounds
sure.
Very familiar.
You know, it works great, but she is a person that speaks only when she knows what she's speaking about. Why are you looking at me like
again,
that?
Is this, you're describing yourself.
Well, I don't like to speak and sound uneducated.
I'm not saying that you do.
So anyway, so my mother is the one that taught me how to deal with conflict.
Think about today, people today. Who teaches us how to, where do we see conflict? We see the Kardashians throwing blows on TV. We see...
Who watches the Kardashians?
A lot of people.
That's the second time you've brought them up. I know who they are per se, but I don't know anything about them, to be honest.
Well, they're...
Like, they got famous from flashing their boobs or spreading a sex tape or something, right? Okay, see, I don't know. Anyway,
what I'm trying to get across is there's very unhealthy patterns in what's demonstrated in the media, what's demonstrated on TV.
In movies,
yeah. Radio, even YouTube videos is very unhealthy means of conflict.
Right.
And so what I want to do is provide an alternative style of dealing with conflict.
Well, and especially with today's society, certain even genres and ages, right? They have different ways of thinking. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of the younger generation right now is very me. Everything is about them, and it's nothing's about anybody else. Even in their relationships, they're very selfish.
Yes.
You know, and then you kind of get to an older, maybe, what would you say, mid-25 to 35, maybe?
I think.
A little older than that?
A little older.
Okay. So let's say 28, 29, right? To right under our age. And they're definitely a lot more in touch with themselves and wanting other people, or they want to acknowledge other people's feelings. But they still weigh on the selfish side. Mm-hmm. And then you have our genera, right? Our age group, or our generation. I keep saying genera. I don't know why I keep saying
genre?
That. Genre? Genera.
I'm just trying to figure out what you were saying.
Well, there's two different ways to say that.
I know. I was just okay. trying to figure out what you were saying.
But what I really meant is generation.
Got it.
Our generation was taught to, we were taught to battle. We were taught to care and fight at the same time. We were taught both. To where above us, they were taught what? They were taught to care about what everyone else thinks and to subside to everything and not cause trouble. We were
raised in two different...
Well, yeah, I guess regional locations,
because
too.
I was not raised to fight that way.
Right, you were raised to just
be very submissive,
not cause problems.
Uh-huh.
Right,
you were to be seen and not heard.
Right, where I was raised, if you don't take it, no one's going to give it to you. So you have to take it. You have to work your butt off to make it happen.
Well, my work ethic is like that too, but my fighting mm-hmm. style is completely different.
Correct. Yeah. Uh huh.
I shut down.
Right.
Where I freeze.
You freeze and shut down. I get better and start to research everything.
You get better.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
In your mind?
I'll pat my own back when it comes to my argument skills and winning what I want. Yes.
But there's still some unhealthy things that we all do.
Oh, I'm sure. There's plenty of unhealthy things I do.
I know that since, you know, most of us are in the lifestyle, and if you're not in the lifestyle, thinking about the lifestyle or just living life in general, right? And mm-hmm. the overall conception of that is, you know, we never fight. We never argue. We have sex all the time, so we have to be happy. And that's just one of the many lies and the many, I guess, untruths that go around about the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
During times of conflict, when you're not feeling like you're being heard, what are some of the emotions that you feel?
That's a dangerous question for me.
In general, people feel inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
They begin to feel uncertain about themselves. I mean, you can put any negative emotion in there, but what does it all manifest into? Anger.
Okay.
When you get really hurt, when you get mad, I mean, just anything, what most of the time we're taught that it manifests into anger.
Right.
Guys punch holes in the walls. Women, though, there's no telling, don't make a woman angry. Things happen, but it's all unhealthy. Do you agree?
I agree that I guess some men punch holes in the walls. That's not really me. I get, so that was me when I was a kid. That's not me now. But
I'm not saying all. I very much agree with manifest into anger.
Well, I like how you paused yourself when you said it, and women, and you had to think about it. And I'm like, yes, women won't punch a hole in the wall.
They'll slit your tires.
They will find a way to remove your body from existence and never get caught. So be careful, because the most dangerous type of fighter is an educated one with patience.
Well, I was just saying that anger tends to be the prevailing emotion.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, if we're going to go there about hiding bodies, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're really weird.
I got a couple shovels.
So, yeah. Are you trying to give me, like, hints or trying to say that I'm going to end up underground?
I'm saying you better have my back if we ever have to use a shovel.
Oh, okay.
Digging's hard work.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
My fragile hands, they can't deal with that.
Oh, my goodness. You'll get a blister.
Oh, that's no good. I can't deal with that. I have to go to my manicurist and, you know, have them fix all that. It's no good. No bueno.
I have been trying to get you to go get a pedicure with me forever.
I said manicure, my hands, not anything about touching my feet.
I know. I don't think you'll go get your hands done.
I'm the only one that will touch my own feet.
Have you ever heard of active listening?
Yes.
What is active listening to you?
When I am moving around, being active, trying to listen. I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I just gave him the WTF eyes.
I warned you tonight that I was
feeling spunky.
Spunky.
I'm trying to be all serious and stuff.
So get serious. Go for it.
I am being serious.
So active listening.
It's listening to understand, not listening to respond.
Correct. So what you're saying is, instead of sitting there waiting for you to finish so I can get out what I want to say, I actually have to participate in listening to what you're saying to actually understand how you're feeling and where you're coming from versus only giving a shit about my agenda.
Yes.
Oh, that's hard for people to do.
I know. And especially when I say, I don't know if you've ran into this in your sessions, but when I say, you know, when I try to explain active listening, so many times I get couples that tell me, oh, I'll listen. I listen to everything about my partner. I know what her moans mean. I listen to her desires or their, his, whatever, their sexual requests. I listen. I know how to. But do you actually listen to them during heated disagreements is mm-hmm. where I go with that. Because if you're not listening to them during that time period, then you're not actively listening at all.
Right.
I don't know.
You have to listen to the negative and the positive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that I've heard this, and I mean, in my past, it's happened to me too. When I go to enter a conversation with a partner, I feel worse about the topic or the situation than before I started because I don't feel like I was heard. I don't feel like I was understood.
Mm-hmm.
Or even worse, what's supposed to be like just a calm, cool conversation turns into a huge explosion of emotions. And each of us are like chomping at the bit to try to
outdo the other.
Yeah. And we're trying to like listen. I mean, we're listening to respond because, oh, you said that. So let me tell you. And there's nothing constructive coming from that conversation.
Right.
And it just feels like it's a personal attack.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of this is sounding any what kind of familiar to any of our listeners.
If you're getting defensive.
Yeah. This fight journal.
Is probably for you.
It's probably for you.
Fair.
Very much so. Let's talk about what it means to be an active listener.
Okay.
I want you to think of a tomcat. When I say tomcat, what do you think of?
I think of that weird, crazy acronym that has to do with communication and how you... So, I don't remember how it's broken down, but I know it has to do with your posture while talking to the person, the direction you're facing, whether you're open or not, whether you're listening to something. And I think it refers to how they're feeling. And I know there's some other stuff there, but I don't remember the full breakdown.
I'm very proud of you.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because, you know, you listened to me when I was writing this book.
Oh, or I already knew what Tomcat was, or I helped you come up with the acronym.
Oh, yeah. There you go. It was a little of both.
Yeah, you didn't think I remember that, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't, because you don't remember. You pride yourself on not remembering anything, and then you'll remember the weirdest.
I do not pride myself in not remembering anything. That is completely not true.
I shouldn't say pride.
No. My memory is embarrassing to me.
Well.
So, be careful what you say.
You're right. I don't. I apologize for that. I shouldn't have said pride. You often speak about how you forget things.
I have to.
And then you remember stuff like this and it blows me away.
Mm-hmm. Got so, no control over it.
I know. I'm thankful. Mm. So let's talk about what the acronym means.
Okay.
T for Tom, or T in Tomcat, I guess I should say, is turning towards your partner. When I say that, like, people are like, well, I'm facing my partner now. That's not what I mean. Body language in our sessions is huge. I think I find out more about a couple through body language than I do sometimes more than what they say.
Yeah.
Do you find that?
Yep. Agreed. Well, I'm not going to say always, but a lot.
A lot. You're right.
So turning towards your partner doesn't mean to get into the Karate Kid, kick stance, whatever, crane kick.
It's a little subtleness.
Yeah. If you're sitting there in the crane position facing your partner, well, they're probably going to be very defensive.
Yes. Turning towards your partner means just angling your body towards them.
Mm-hmm.
If a couple comes in and they are facing away from each other, I know that we have some serious issues to work out. But if they come in and they're angled even slightly towards each other, that gives me positive feedback. So this positive feedback is more telling than what I guess most of the body language is. And where this all stems from was, I guess it's the Gottman Institute, and they have over 40 years of research with more than 3,000 couples that kind of monitors and manages and discusses and I guess all things marital stability. And so this particular research study that helped John Gottman realized that turning towards your partner would help indicate the stability of your marriage. It comes from a study that they did where they took couples and they got married, and then 6 years later, they interviewed them again. And so, unfortunately, many had divorced. Actually, a lot had divorced. But what they did find for those who had stayed married that 6 years was that 86% of the time, they reported actually facing each other during times of distress. And he even watched this in their arguments that he had filmed and everything. And he found out that turning towards your partner really allows them to see how sincere you are. And it kind of creates a stronger connection.
Okay. Wait, so he recorded their fights?
He recorded everything.
So is that like the original Fight Club?
Probably. I'm sure he's got some documentation. There's some on the Google. If you ever want to see a Gottman Institute fight, there's some really good ones on there. So let's talk about the O.
Okay.
Open posture. Your body language, again, tells a lot. So you can turn towards your partner, but if you've turned towards your partner and your arms are crossed and your legs are crossed and you are just completely shut off.
Or your fists are clenched.
Your fists are clenched, yeah.
It's probably not a good thing.
Not a good thing.
Not good.
You need to open your posture.
Okay.
That encourages them to feel comfortable to talk to you. Yeah, I mean, turning towards them is good, but turning towards them with an attitude might cause for some concern.
I like it when you open your legs with an attitude.
You like when I... Oh, wow. Maybe you have to do that tonight. Mm. So the M in Tomcat?
Mm-hmm.
Is maintaining eye contact, which is very hard for me. Maintaining eye contact is very uncomfortable for me. Is it for you?
No.
It's very uncomfortable for
me. I like staring people down.
Yeah, I know.
Making them feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you're doing right now.
Yep.
Yeah. But during times...
Why are you looking away?
Oh, because I'm looking down to read.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got notes here.
Okay.
But during times of conflict, it's very hard. I can look at you all day long unless we're in conflict because... I've been shamed in the past, and you don't make eye contact. You look down because you don't look a man in the eye unless you know, it's real Southern values. Yeah.
I look every man in the eye when I talk to them.
But you're not a female.
If I ever see you look down when you're talking to a man, I'm probably going to say something. Yeah.
I very rarely do it now, but
good.
I follow the Shakespearean quote, "The eyes are the windows to the soul." So I look at people's eyes.
Okay.
And I can tell not a lot most of the time, to be completely honest. I was going to say,
what do my eyes tell you? I would love to know.
Oh, no. Maintaining eye contact is something that's very hard, you know, but it's something that's necessary. Moving on. The C is you can't interrupt. Interrupting your partner is not active listening.
Mm-hmm.
It just tells them that you don't care a thing about what they're saying. You just want to be heard. And this sudden flux in power can really leave your partner feeling belittled and insulted, further causing more shutdown. And that leads us to A. Ask open-ended questions. If you have a yes or no question, that's not going to facilitate healthy conversation. Ask open-ended questions.
Can I give an example?
Please give an example.
Because I know with a lot of my clients, when I say that, they go, you know, a lot of them are very honest and they go, I actually don't know what an open-ended question is. A closed question is normally what we do in law enforcement to get an accurate reading of someone's honesty up front. We already know all the answers.
It's a yes or no.
And it is a yes or no or one or two or black and yellow. It's a very distinct answer. An open-ended question is, how did you feel about that?
Mm-hmm.
And then you stop. It allows the person to express themselves in as few words or as many words as they need to, with as many adjectives or verbs as they see fit. So it allows someone to speak freely. It doesn't trap them into a singular answer.
My favorite open-ended question that you ask me after every time we go somewhere and play or do an event is, what would you have done differently?
I didn't know I asked you that every time.
Mm-hmm.
I normally ask you, did you have fun? It's the first thing I want to know.
It's a yes or no.
Or did anything upset you?
It's another yes or no.
And then I asked you, what were the negatives and positives to what just happened? Mm-hmm. That's normally my base questions.
And then you've been throwing in there, what would you have done differently? Okay. I don't know. You've thrown it in there the last...
couple times?
I mean, the last every time I can think of.
That's fair. Okay.
Yeah. It's an open-ended question.
Right.
And you also ask, why do you feel this way? Or why did you...
I do that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's mm-hmm. another open conversation that facilitates healthy conversation, because you're not trying to tell me how I should feel.
Nope.
You're not trying to say, well, you shouldn't feel that way because da-da-da-da-da.
No, that's dumb. That isn't... I say that very plain, like a kindergarten, that's dumb. It's unhealthy. It is not, if you're going to, you know, this is not even a lifestyle thing.
No, it's a life
this
thing.
This should be a life in general thing. If you care about your partner, then you care about their true feelings and who they want to be, not who you want them to be.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that really leads me to the last T, which is take time to reflect on what the conversation was about and find meaning in what you're talking about. Find the good points. Don't necessarily always harp on the bad. Okay. So that's the steps to active listening. You're researching something over there.
I'm playing with the camera, trying to see how we can do live, turning on the camera, off the camera, like I'm doing all sorts of stuff. So I'm not ignoring you.
I feel ignored right now.
Well, I'm sorry. You definitely weren't ignored this weekend, 3 days in a row.
No, I was not. But in this moment.
I can't be my greatest all the time. I'm sorry. That's too much. It's an unreasonable expectation.
It is not unreasonable. I need you to be... on your A game 24/7.
All the time.
All the time.
I know. It's
never
going to happen.
So not on my A game. Mm. So can we talk about what the fight journal is now?
Yeah.
So we've talked about active listening. We've talked about, you know, different styles of our fighting. But what is this fight journal? And I am proud to call it a relationship tool.
Okay.
Sometimes you just need a good fight in order to make up and fuck. I left you speechless. I left him speechless.
You didn't leave me speechless in the way you think you did. I don't agree with you. I think sometimes you can just fuck to fuck. You can have an aggressive fuck without a fight. I do it all the time.
You're thinking too much into it.
Okay. I gotcha.
You're
trying to be playful and fun with it, and I'm taking it seriously.
This
like,
when did this dynamic switch?
I don't know. 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's switch back.
We'll try.
I like you being the witty one.
Oh, okay.
Let's talk about some reality. You're going through your day and your partner says something that really pisses you off or mm-hmm. does something completely uncalled for and it ruins your entire day. But you tell your partner you're not mad and, you know, you just kind of go about your day, right? But you're slamming doors. You're throwing things around, making it very obvious that
you're acting a fool.
You're not okay, but you're saying you're okay, right? I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
If any of this is sounding familiar, keep listening. Or the opposite happens. And that's when constantly fighting all the time. You can't ever do anything right. And it's just the constant badgering. And so that ruins your day too. Would you agree?
If that was my life, that would be terrible.
I understand. Some people...
When I get upset, I just leave. I will tell you, I'm leaving.
You've never done that. When you get upset, we talk about it right then.
I've done that once. Yes.
You've done it, one time.
Yes.
But when we get angry or we need to say something, we talk about it in the moment.
Yeah.
We're very good at that. But there are a lot of couples who do not. They hold it in and they act a fool, regardless of whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
And so the point of the fight journal is it's a scheduled time for you to be able to fight about, quote unquote, I call it fighting, but you to be able to discuss hard conversations that can be let go in the moment. You don't have to hang on to it and you can enjoy your day. You don't have to just let it fester, I guess is the best way to say it. The frequency of your fights depends on the level of conflict in your relationship.
The frequency of your fights.
Yes.
Depends on the conflict. Okay.
The frequency.
I get, yeah. I sorry. I'm tired.
I understand. Me too.
The intelligence in me has been drained away today.
I
feel actually that I should be drunk to do this tonight.
But
last time I was drunk.
You told a story.
You were so mad at me.
You told a story that should not have been told. If you've not listened to that segment, you should probably listen to that.
Why didn't you delete that then?
Oh no, it's in there. It's good. It was too good to delete.
Okay. I don't even know what it is now. Great. Anyway.
Oh, it's great.
Anyway. So the amount of conflict.
Yeah, it depends on the frequency.
Depends on the frequency.
So some couples, I have probably 30 couples right now testing this theory for doing research for my book.
Okay.
I have one couple that has to do this. They have to schedule it every Thursday. Every Thursday they know it's Thursday at 7:30. They are going to have their fight time. I have one couple.
Now, does it have to be a fight or that's just when they bring their conflicts to the table?
They bring their conflicts to the table.
And they say, okay, got it.
Yeah, fight journal is a little dramatic, but you know me. I'm dramatic.
I know. I just want to make sure for the literal people that they understand we are not enforcing people to put on boxing gloves and fight.
Not at all.
And we're not enforcing, hey, go ahead and at 7:30 on Thursday, it's okay to scream and curse and yell at
each other. Not at either. And this is what this prevents. This is, they're not doing that because we're active listening.
It's a scheduled time for them to be heard.
Yes.
In the things that they have upset them during the week.
Yes.
Got it.
So my one couple that's Thursday at 7:30, they do theirs. I have another couple that only does it once a month.
Okay.
And that's fine for them. But how they do this is there's a journal that they have. They have a notebook that I provided for them. They write down all throughout the week different topics. So let's say we're going through and what's something that irritates you about me?
You're messy.
Besides that.
No, you're messy.
Okay.
You leave stuff everywhere and I feel like I'm the housewife because I
am nothing.
I'm busy picking up after you because you just throw shit everywhere. I tell you what I'm going to do. For a whole week, I am not going to pick up after you. I want you to see the tornado that you create.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Tuesday, right? Starting today.
At 9:30.
So next Wednesday is when I stop.
Okay.
And I'm going to take pictures of the escalation of the tornado. It's going to go from an F1 to an F17.
I doubt it, but okay.
I'm telling you.
That would be one topic you could write down.
Yes.
Another topic could be drinking all the creamer.
Mm.
Never having coffee creamer.
Okay. Is that yours or mine?
It's just, I very rarely drink coffee, but when I do, I want coffee creamer and it's never in there.
Well, you need to talk to our daughter.
So, and you cannot lie. You drink a shit ton of coffee
25% creamer, 75% coffee. Our daughter literally is 50-50.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
So,
she has admitted this to you.
The point is, you can write down things that have irritated you but are not worth immediate interaction at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit down at the table. We have a list of topics to discuss. These are not topics that warrant immediate communication.
Right.
If it's something that's immediate, that's different.
Like, hey, our power is going to be shut off.
You
probably shouldn't wait a week.
Yes, probably should not wait a week. But if it's something that's bothering you, that you can write down. And the reason why you write it down is because the power in this journal is that you know you're going to be heard. You know that on Thursday at 7:30, your concern is going to be heard and discussed. So there's no need to fret about it. There's no need to continue to be pissed off about it. There's no need to even
worry that you're going to forget about it.
That you're going to forget about it because it's written down. That's why we write it down. And we know on our scheduled time, we're going to discuss it.
Okay.
So fight night comes. You're going to pick, I usually say one topic, but if there are some topics that can be clumped together or if you have more time, you're going to pick some topics to discuss. The beauty of this is you only get 30 to 60 minutes. 60 minutes is your cutoff time. There's a process to this.
For each person?
No.
Okay. Total. Well, clarify.
I'm about to. I just said there's a process to this. So you get 60 minutes in total. And if it goes any longer, it usually does not end well. So I'm going to request that you don't go any longer than 60 minutes. Okay. So we've sat down to fight. We've sat down to discuss. And we've chosen our topics. Each person, and you have to have set your phone up and you get a timer. Each person gets 5 minutes to discuss what's bothering them about the chosen topic. Now, while that person is talking, the other person is actively listening, doing Tomcat. They're Tomcatting it up, right? You're going to have to time yourself because what we all know, once we get to talking, it's very hard to shut us up sometimes. So time yourself. After each partner has made their argument, you're going to give yourself about 15 minutes to discuss clarifying questions, to ask clarifying questions, to kind of discuss a little bit about what's bothering you about it. This conversation is honest. It's open. We're not worried about hurting each other's feelings. We're worried about working out the issue at hand. The key to this activity is consistency. It's critical that you make time for these discussions. If you say you're going to do it once a week, you do it once a week. If you need to do it twice a week, however, whatever the frequency that you need to, you have to make sure it happens. And yes, life gets in the way and, you know, kids and whatnot, but you have to make sure that you are doing what you need to do to work on your personal issues in your relationship. Or, I mean, statistically, it shows probably going to end up separated with irreconcilable differences because you don't know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, consistency is key. You know that the reflection piece of the Tomcat?
Yeah, at the very end.
Yeah, take time to reflect. Mm-hmm. You're going to take time to reflect. And the beauty of this journal is you're going to write down what you've reflected on. So, in the journal, you're going to ask yourself some questions. As a couple, what did we accomplish by having this fight, this discussion? What are the positives? What are the negatives? And what's our plan of action moving forward? So here's the beauty of this, and especially for you and I, because we both forget a lot.
All the time?
All the time. I'm terrible at remembering things.
But I get punished for it.
You do not get punished. You are such a fibber.
She locks me in the closet.
Such a fibber. Anyway, the beauty of this journal is that it's right there, and mm-hmm. you can always flip back to it. So if you forget, oh, did we talk about this? Yes, we did. Here's what we decided on. Here's our plan of action. It reduces the redundancy of the arguments because you can say, hey, check the journal. It's in there. What's going on in your mind right now?
Nothing.
Okay. You just had a look on your face, so I didn't know if you...
I was looking at your hair. Oh. That's all.
Is it crazy?
No. Oh. No, I like it. It's getting longer.
Mm-hmm. It is getting longer. Back on track. The very last thing.
I'm not using my active listening skills.
You're not at all. The very last thing is you and your partner are going to rank your discussion. You're going to rank your ability to stay on topic and find a solution. And you rank it 1 through 4. And the reason why you do that is because you're going to see in the beginning, you're going to have 1s and 2s. And as you start to get 3s and even 4s, it's time to move away from the journal. And you don't need the journal to facilitate these conversations because you're going to start doing it on your own regularly.
Do people tend to fall back after a while over time because they stop using the journal?
Yes, they do.
So maybe always use the journal?
I say you can reduce the frequency to once a month, once every 3 months, whatever you need. But it needs to be there.
Right. As a tool to utilize if you feel you're slipping.
Or... Out of my 30 couples that are using the fight journal at this time, I've only had one that has been able to consistently have the communication and not use the journal after they started hitting force.
Okay.
That couple communicates very well, but still there's 29 other couples. And we've been doing this. I started it 5 months ago. So I was going to do a 6 month. Yeah. 5 months ago. So we're in our last month of it. And I wanted to see how they were doing. And yeah, that's what I found so far. Okay. 29 out of the 30 are still using it.
So it's been a positive experience for them and a positive tool for them to utilize.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And how they describe it, one couple described it as, I even wrote this down because she said it so eloquently. She said, the beauty of this fight journal is that you have an outlet to express the nuances before they get out of hand.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And I was like, can I use that? That's beautiful. And so I am, with her permission. But yeah, it's an opportunity for you to talk about things before they get out of hand and blow out of proportion.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's how simple the fight journal is.
Let me get this right.
Okay.
If you argue a lot,
yes,
or you argue ineffectively, and you don't actually communicate, because you can communicate without actually really communicating. I mean, everything is a form of communication. Body posture,
body
behavior,
posture,
eyes.
Dress, the way people dress.
Exactly.
Everything,
right? But is it effective communication? Is it resolving anything? Are you listening to your partner? Is your partner listening to you? If you have said no to any of those, or there's more that you're thinking about as you're listening to this, and you're like, well, there's also this, but we don't do it well, right? The fight journal is a tool that you can utilize to get out in the open. And I think something that we haven't brought up that I've been thinking about as we've been discussing this is, so a lot of people, right, look at Stephanie and they say, okay, well, Stephanie is a board licensed mental health professional and she holds all these certifications. Her communication must be above par and perfect. Ah. And the truth is, when it comes to our relationship,
I'm terrible.
I have to, force is not the correct word. I have to encourage her and sometimes pull her teeth out. Yes. To make her effectively communicate because of her past. She shuts down or she's afraid to be honest about how she really feels.
I freeze.
Right. So if that is also the issue, the fight journal is probably going to be a tool that allows you to express yourself on paper before it ever gets to, you know, your mouth in the first place.
Yes.
And it'll probably keep you on track, and it'll also probably alleviate a lot of frustration and anger because you've been able to put it somewhere.
Exactly. And it's somewhere, a tangible place where both of you have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's ever any question, we can just say, hey, we've already talked about this. Let's review it.
Mm-hmm.
Or my big thing is, well, don't you remember what we talk about? And the reality of it is, no, we probably don't remember.
Nope.
And that's okay. But if we have this tool to go back to, we can say, okay, that alleviates a lot of stress.
The movie industry makes a lot of money off of me because there's a lot of firsts as far as movies go for me. Yes.
I love
over
watching.
And over and over again.
Right now, I'm so late to the game. We're watching Sons of Anarchy, and I'm so late to the game.
I've watched it 6, 7, 8 times over. I own the entire series.
Yes, but even watching it with you now, after you've watched it that many times, you're like, oh, I forgot. Oh, man. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's like so it's almost like we're watching it together for the first time.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I forgot or episodes. I'm just like, wait a minute, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love doing that. It's fun. I do want to say that we have handouts, printables, all of that that can be uploaded on our website.
Ooh.
That helps with starting your own fight journal. The book that I'm writing and researching and all of that is a workbook, but it also has, you know, the research and all of the findings behind it. It's not ready yet. It's not even close to being done yet. And to be completely honest with you, it's going to be put on hold because I am starting a doctorate program.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the big PhD.
Yeah.
I get to call you doctor in bed though.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not doing it until it's real.
2 years, baby.
Yeah, I want you to wear a doctor's lab coat and everything.
I'm not that kind of
doctor. I don't care. Where I'm telling you, okay. You need to figure out an outfit that says I am a fucking doctor.
I am a fucking doctor. Fuck me.
That way I can fuck the doctor.
Oh, I love it. Yes, we can definitely do that.
Yes, and then play doctor.
So I am getting my doctorates in clinical sexology. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a sex doctor. Mm.
Sex is something I don't really feel I need a whole lot of edumacation on.
I don't think so either.
So,
but it's going to be fun. Mm-hmm. Due to that, though, I am going to have to put this book on the back burner.
Yeah, it's okay.
Because I am very good at multitasking.
Instead of written by Stephanie Sigler LBC, now it's going to be written by Dr. Sigler. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll just put it on hold. But we still have the resources available.
We do.
We will. We still are teaching this in our retreats.
Mm-hmm. All our seminars and our workshops.
Yep. So.
And if you're not familiar by now, or you're not listening to this on our website or on Buzzsprout, sure, or on one of the many
platforms that we're on,
podcast platforms, you can just go to kinkycoach.com, and that's coach with a K.
Yeah.
And it has everything, all the resources. We do counseling, coaching, etc., parties, events,
yeah,
and a whole lot of other fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to come up with something quirky and awesome and catchy. I'm just too damn tired. Yeah.
But we always have a lot of energy at our parties.
Yes.
I mean, at our events. I guess we can't call them parties. Well, they are
parties.
No,
we have events and parties. Yeah. Yeah. We just have put all of our parties on hold because they're house parties.
Yeah.
And given the environment, most people are more comfortable with going to a venue that are following COVID regulations than an actual house party where they don't know what anyone's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always bring the energy at the retreats and seminars. Mm. So
you just bring the energy, period.
I do bring a lot of energy.
I've actually learned to throttle back and just let her do her thing and smile and literally talk to the couples and go, yep, that's my wife running around. That's her. And it's funny because as she's doing introductions and what she has
deemed
the awkward walk. Yeah. And if you haven't heard about the awkward walk, basically, if you come to a Kinky Coach event, whether we're hosting it or whether we are sponsoring it, you are going to meet every single person there. We do not believe in the structure of designing an event and letting everyone just meet each other.
Fend for themselves.
Like, fend for yourself type nonsense. Because not everybody is alpha. Not everyone is a go-getter like that. But everyone deserves
to meet,
you know,
everybody,
to meet everyone, and to get some type of recognition
and connection.
Yeah, you know, the lifestyle, whether you believe this or not, this is my belief, and I will fight you
to the death
over this ideology. The lifestyle is not about sex. The lifestyle, even though, yes, sex is a primary goal, the lifestyle really is about connection and being with other like-minded people.
Absolutely.
That's something you see in almost everyone's profile.
Yes.
Because that is the ideology behind the lifestyle, in my opinion. Like-minded people, meaning people that are open sexually, whatever that means for you, whether it be a swinger or a hot wife couple or
anything,
a unicorn hunters or whatever you classify yourself.
Alternative relationship. Yep. Consensual, non-monogamous.
We're all there to hang out together and to speak open and just be ourselves and not have to worry about being chastised or judged or, you know, being put down because of our open sexuality.
That's right.
So to me, the lifestyle is about camaraderie, bringing everyone together, mm-hmm, and forming friendships. Yeah, the sex can be a lot of fun.
It really is.
And feel great, but to me, that's not a primary goal. So,
and if that's your primary goal,
awesome,
go get it.
It's just not mine.
So when you come to our events, you're going to meet everybody.
Right.
I will say that I will not be doing the awkward walk on my birthday.
No.
the birthday party, I am going to sit back and just have fun. And I'm not going to, I'm going to have tons of energy. Don't worry. I'm going to, my energy never goes away, but I'm not going to be doing the awkward walk because we have the kinky girls, the Kinky Nation girls.
The what?
The Kinky Nation girls.
Okay, you said the Kinky girls.
I mean, well, I meant Kinky Nation. Name. I know, the Kinky Nation girls.
Yep, we'll be doing that
for us. Who will be doing that for me.
Yep. So if you don't know already, our next two events, September 25th is the Austin Swinger Social.
Yes.
Okay.
And you will get the awkward walk there.
You will. The Austin Swinger Social, it's a monthly event. It's the fourth Friday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I don't know if it's going to always be held at Colette Austin. I'm going to push for it to be, but if that changes, we will obviously update all the flyers and ads and let everyone know right away. We do co-host it with Texas Light Couple, Steve Shout and out. Sue. Okay. Or Sue and Steve. That's their signature line, so I don't want to mess that up. Because I know I actually get mad when people say Fox and Stephanie, because that's not how I wrote it. I wrote it as Stephanie and Fox. And there are two people that we work with that they either refuse or
they
it's
will
just
not talk to me.
It's just ingrained in them to only they'll talk to you. They just
very rarely talk business with me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's a southern thing.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
They
nonsense.
Don't feel like I can hold my own.
Yeah, well, what they don't understand is you are the kinky coach. This company would not exist without your degree, without your hard work, without your licensing. You are the kinky coach.
Well, and you're
they'll come around to it.
And you're my handsome fox.
Well, they'll come around to it. Yeah. I guarantee they will, because they're not going to have a choice. But
we make a good team.
Yeah, yeah. The Austin Swinger Social, the 25th, starts at 7 p.m. at Colette Austin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's a monthly event, the fourth Friday of every month.
Yes.
Okay. We do the awkward walk there definitely always.
Yes. Stephanie will be doing that.
Yes. Now, Kinky Nation Nights is something that we are about to kick off.
Yes.
That will be at Colette Austin.
Always.
Always for now. Hopefully, eventually that will bleed over into the other Colette.
Other locations.
Locations, right? But for right now, it will only be in Texas at Colette Austin. And our Kinky Nation girls are actually going to be doing the awkward walk. We will not during those nights.
Yeah.
We will be doing other things like
giveaways.
Giveaways, being on the microphone, which I hate to do. So as much as I don't care about recording in the studio, I give a shit about talking on a microphone.
Oh, I don't. I would much rather do that.
So done. The job is yours.
I mean,
sold.
It's because
so
I'm awkward, so it's going to work out perfect.
Perfect. So September 26th is our very first Kinky Nation night. It's going to be Stephanie's birthday.
Yes.
And it is going to be off the chain. So we have the Kinky Nation girls there. Basically, we've hired a bunch of models.
Mm-hmm.
They greet you at the door. We have a ton of sponsors. There's going to be swag bags that are just full of awesomeness.
Lots of giveaways.
Free bubbly, because I got to call it bubbly because of ABC regulations, right? And there's giveaways.
Drawings,
a bunch of other fun, awesome stuff. So, go ahead.
Our BDSM demonstration.
Yes, and there's a free BDSM course that we're going to be...
Just a demonstration. I wouldn't call it a course.
Well, it's teaching some people
some stuff. It's teaching some things.
Yeah,
but
not everyone knows about BDSM.
But it's not a full-blown course. I just don't want people to come there thinking they're going to get...
Yeah, it's not a 20-40-hour course.
No,
where you
this
get
is just a demonstration. Some things you can do to spice it up.
There you go. So those are our next two events. And again, go to the website, kinkycoach.com. That's coach with a K. And you can learn all about it, purchase your tickets, sign up. It's pretty much all I got for tonight.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Just to recap.
Mm-hmm.
Be an active listener.
Be an active listener.
Practice Tomcat.
Mm-hmm.
And get your free fight journal materials on our website.
Yes.
Start fighting fair.
Which means you have to send it to me so I can get it up on the site.
I got it.
Okay.
Start fighting fair.
Keep it classy, not trashy.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Have a good night, guys.
Good night. Hey, Fox.
Not again.
Why don't you tell them where they can find us?
Oh, so you can find us on the Bookface.
Facebook.
Yeah, that thing. At the Kinky Coach.
Or you can find us at any of the adult beverage websites. You like that?
I do, yeah.
Yes, because you're tasty. You're thirsty.
Yeah. Yes, thirsty.
So you can look for either Luna underscore and underscore Logan, or you can look for the Kiki Coach and her silver fox. Yeah.
So thank you for listening, and we hope you have a very sexy evening.
Have a good night.
You are listening to the Kinky Coach Podcast with Stephanie
and Fox.